It's a great deal to having never really been on the receiving end of care in a time of tragedy. You know, I thank the Lord for that. We found ourselves on the receiving end of that, and it was an awesome thing to be loved so deeply and so well by you as a church. And Ronnie and Hannah and I are grateful. My dad told me yesterday to tell all of you, thank you for praying for him. He's doing better. Before I left, I really struggled with leaving yesterday, and I said, I can stay. And he's speaking very slowly. He said, no, you need to preach. And then he paused, and he said, those people need preaching too, probably, over there. Which was pretty funny. But I was grateful for that. He has his sense of humor, and thank you very much for your prayers, and God bless you in that. Our text this morning is John chapter 10. John chapter 10, as we've been working through the great gospel of John. John chapter 10, a comforting, beautiful passage this morning. John chapter 10, beginning in verses 1 and going through verse 21, in which the Lord Jesus speaks of himself as the good shepherd, as the good shepherd. I apologize for the excessive genuflecting up and down, but it is time to stand for honor of the reading of God's word once again. John chapter 10, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold but by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I love the multifaceted imagery of Jesus that we find in the biblical text. Jesus as prophet, priest, and king, to use the traditional trifold distinction of his offices. Jesus as indignant, angry God, who is angry, for instance, in the temple, when people had perverted the house of prayer into a house of profit. I love mysterious Jesus. Do you? The Jesus who says things that make you think, no one can come after me unless he hates his father and mother. I love that. I love wise Jesus. I love philosopher Jesus. I love all of these Jesuses who are one Christ. He comes at us in so many different angles that he keeps us off kilter. But at the end of the day, when everything has gone wrong, I really, really like Shepherd Jesus. How about you? Shepherd Jesus. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Now, these are some of those words of Jesus that we are tempted to reduce to the Hallmark card, right? I am the good shepherd. A lot of us have grown up in churches or in your grandma's house where there's a picture. A lot of times you can see the picture of Jesus. He's kneeling at the rock. That's a famous one. A lot of times the face of Jesus. But a lot of times you'll see the face of the shepherd. Some of the earliest surviving Christian art in the catacombs of Rome. There's one particular artwork from the 3rd century depicting Jesus as shepherd holding a sheep. It's a beautiful, comforting image. It is why, along with John 14, it is why, John 14 is when Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. But it is why, in addition to John 14, the 23rd Psalm is the most requested psalm at funerals in particular. The imagery of shepherd is comforting imagery. I am the good shepherd. And so Jesus comes in John 10 and he fleshes out what that means to be the good shepherd. The first thing is this: Jesus is the true shepherd against all false shepherds. Jesus is the true shepherd against all false shepherds. Not all shepherds are good shepherds. And Jesus draws a distinction between himself and those who claim to be shepherds but would, in truth, prey upon the sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, he begins his discourse in verse 1 by drawing and putting attention on these false shepherds and describing their attributes. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Sheep pens, for lack of a better word, in that time had one entrance. It was the entrance and the exit. Sheep were led into the entrance. They were contained inside the fence, and they were let out the next day. If, in the middle of the night, you saw some shadowy figure crawling over the rails, that guy has something pernicious in mind. And pernicious is just a great big word that means pernicious. He's up to no good. A thief is the one who crawls over the gate. My father has a good friend he sells hardware to who told him about one night someone breaking into their house and how he went and ran out to grab his gun and they heard someone coming into the house and how when he came back into his bedroom, his wife was sitting up in their bed, sitting up, and on either side of the bed were windows on either side of their bed in their bedroom. And as he rounded the corner, someone was stepping into the bedroom next to his wife. That's not how grandma comes in. That's not how friends come in. If you're coming in the window in the middle of the night, you're up to something and it's not good. I will spare you the end of the story. It involves a loud bang. When my dad gets better, you can ask him. But that's not how people who care about the inhabitants enter. Thieves come in that way. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the people of God know the voice of their shepherd. And they are able to distinguish it from competing voices, no matter how seductive they might be, competing voices that are not authentic. Every day we wake up and have voices call out to us. Do this, do that, go here, go there. But the people of God know the voice of their shepherd. And Jesus says, when they hear that voice, they rejoice. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The true shepherd is the shepherd who knows you by name. I never forget one of the guiltiest times I ever felt in my life was when I was listening to this preacher and he said, real preachers don't walk around their church calling the little boys and girls, hey buddy, they know their names. I'm terrible with names, so I have not slept since I heard that. And every time I say, hey buddy, I want to say I really do love and care for you. I'm working on it, you know. But it's a sign of great, great affection and connection to know someone's name. This is just going to be chuck full of stories from the week. You're going to have to tolerate it, okay? My father had a seizure in the middle of the night, and I hopped up and ran out screaming for nurses, and they all ran in, and doctors ran in, and people ran in. And I stood in the hall and watched him with his feet twitching and kicking, and I stood there just praying, and one of the nurses leaned over him yelling as they were shoving a tube down his throat, Mr. Martin, Mr. Martin, Mr. Martin, it's okay. I interjected myself because it occurred to me that on top of the confusion, being called Mr. Martin might just be too much for my poor dad. So I leaned in, I said, it's Mr. Richardson. The shepherd knows his sheep by name. Jesus never sees you and says, hey, Bob, if your name's Sally. He knows you. He knows you and he loves you. He knows you and he loves you. You know his voice and you love him too. Thank God for the good shepherd. A stranger, he continues in verse 5, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Sheep do not follow the voice of strangers. Jesus said to them in verse 7, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Keep in mind that in the context, beginning of John 8, 9, and now in 10, Jesus has been locked in combat with the religious elites, the religious authorities of the day, who claim to be the true shepherds. But instead of giving the people the true light of God, they were burdening them with the guilt of the law and an unending repetition of that standard which not only they could not meet, but the teachers could not meet. And they were preying on the shepherds. This is an image out of the prophets when they say that many of the teachers are false teachers. They're preying on their sheep. And Jesus comes and he says, the good shepherd does not do that. The good shepherd is the shepherd who loves and teaches his sheep. He is true and he is right and he is good. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. There's this guy named Mark Driscoll. He's a popular preacher. He's very controversial. I like him half the time, and I don't like him half the time, but he said something once that was so great. He was giving advice to preachers in a preacher's conference. You know what his first bit of advice was? He said, preachers, number one, shoot the wolves. Shoot the wolves. There are people who want to destroy the flock of God. They find ways to do so. He caught a lot of flack for using that image. It's not a terribly bad image. For the wolves come to steal and kill and destroy. Be careful whose voice you listen to. If the voice of any preacher is not in tune with the voice of the great shepherd, he should be rejected and run out of town on a rail. Because false teachers always have an amazing way to sound just about right. All of us have had people knock on our doors, oftentimes for some odd reason on Saturday morning at 9:15. Standing there, they never will give you the name of their organization, but they say the right words, Jesus and gospel and be saved in heaven. All the words sound right. But when you press them, they finally reveal other things. We don't believe in the deity of Christ. We don't believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We don't believe in the literal, eternal reality of hell. We don't believe in these things. Be careful whose voice you listen to. Martin Luther, the great German reformer, was named after Martin of Tours. Martin of Tours once had a vision in which Jesus appeared to him. He said, in the middle of the night, Jesus appeared to him. And he said, Jesus looked so wonderful and so glorious. And he bowed down to worship Jesus. But as he bowed down to worship Jesus, he stopped and he said, wait a minute. Where are the scars? And he said, this image that he thought was Jesus held out his hands and there were no scars. And he said, in his vision, he then looked up at his face and all of a sudden, this person he thought was Jesus was transformed into an image of the devil and disappeared. It's a terrifying little dream to remind us that sometimes angels of darkness come disguised as angels of light. Sometimes we think we are worshiping the Lord God when really we've been deceived. Hey, brothers and sisters in Christ, learn the voice of your shepherd. Learn the voice of your shepherd. Do not listen to competing shepherds. Paul said in the beginning of Galatians, if anyone teaches a gospel contrary to what we have taught, even if it is an angel, let him be anathema. I love that word. Let him be cursed. To preach a gospel other than the gospel of Christ. Jesus is the true shepherd against all false shepherds. Secondly, Jesus is the self-giving shepherd. This is awesome. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, he does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. Verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. One of the greatest preachers of yesteryear was a man named G. Campbell Morgan. R. Kent Hughes has passed on a story about G. Campbell Morgan being on a transatlantic voyage, and he encountered, G. Campbell Morgan encountered there one of the premier Old Testament scholars of the day, a man who really knew the Bible. And this man was telling him, Dr. Morgan, that he had been in the Middle East and had come to know a shepherd. And he said, show me where you keep your sheep. And this would have been some years back, but in the modern era, he said that this man took him and showed him where he kept his sheep. And he took him to this place, and there was a kind of pen built. And on the front of the pen was one little door. And this Old Testament scholar told Dr. Morgan that he said to the shepherd, he said, so this is the door the sheep go in at, right? He said, yep. And he said, but there's no exit door. He said, well, this is the exit door as well. But he looked and it was just an opening. And he said to the shepherd, where is the door? And this shepherd, who was not a believer, said, I am the door. He said, what do you mean you are the door? He said, because when I put my sheep in at night, I lay myself down for my sheep across the door, and nothing comes in or out except that it crosses over my body. Watch this. Jesus is using essentially a double entendre. He is using an image that has two meanings. He is saying here, I lay down my life for my sheep. That's an agrarian image, a pastoral image that they would have understood, because shepherds laid themselves out across the door. They were the door. And yet, did he not mean something more? I lay down my life for the sheep. In their Jewish minds, they would have thought, but of course, all good shepherds lay down their life. That means he's protecting the sheep. It means more. I lay down my life for my sheep. It's not just that I lay down to protect you. It's not just that I become an obstruction so that I might know your whereabouts. I lay down my life definitively, authoritatively, salvifically on the cross for my sheep. I give my life for my sheep. I give it for them. I don't just lay down across the opening. I lay down and they nail me to wood. I lay down my life because I am the door. Not just so that I might know your whereabouts, but rather because I am the only way to enter into the flock. I am how you come into the Father's rest. I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. 2,000 years ago, the good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. What would we be without a cross? What would we be? These others who came before, many of them good men, prophets of God, they all shared a common fate. They were all killed. The ones who survived were false shepherds. They would not lay down their life. The test of all true friendship is this: will you lay down your life? Jesus said there's no greater love than this, than a man lays down his life for a friend. You have a God who lays down his life for you. I sat next to a young guy yesterday from Charlotte to DFW, and I said, "What's your name?" And he told me, and I said, "How old are you?" He said, "I'm in high school." I said, "What you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to become a chaplain." I said, "That's great, man. Chaplain?" He said, "Yeah, I'm going to become a chaplain in the armed forces." I said, that is phenomenal, and I mean that. I think that's awesome. We need good chaplains in the armed forces. I mean, that's frontline. That's amazing. I said, "Man, it's great." I said, what are you going to do? I mean, which are you part of a denomination, or what group are you in, or whatever?" He's like, "Well, they have all groups. You can be a Buddhist, you can be a Christian, you can be a Muslim." I said, "Well, what are you, man? I don't want all groups. I want the God who lays down his life for the sheep. I want to know if you're going to preach Jesus." Can you imagine going to men on a battlefield? Take your choice, A, B, C, or D. There is no choice. It comes down to Christ. Only Christ lays down his life for the sheep. My daughter is very proud of this. One of my uncles came into the hospital, hadn't seen me in 10 years. He looked at me and said, "You look like a god. Buddha." Can you believe it? It was so good to go back home. My aunts were all very nice. My aunts. Hey, man, Buddha never laid down his life. He never did. Muhammad didn't lay down his life. He didn't. I'm not even skewing anything. Read the Quran. Ask a Muslim. Did Muhammad lay down his life to purchase your salvation? No. Jesus did. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. Thirdly, this: Jesus is the inviting, flock-building shepherd. Jesus is the inviting, flock-building shepherd. One verse. "I have other sheep that are not of this fold." Every cult group on earth has claimed that to validate their existence. For instance, the Mormons have claimed that to say that they are authentic Christians. They are not. What it means is that Jesus will go outside of the fold of Israel. He will call those from the outside. You know who's outside the flock that was called in? Us. Us. Peter put it like this in Acts 2, the promise is for you and your children and those who are far off. We're far off and some of us are far out. But Jesus brings us in. I have other sheep that are not of this flock. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd who builds one flock. He builds it through the substance of his own sacrifice, by the power of his resurrected being, in the name of the Father who commissioned and sent him, for the glory of God and for the reaching of the whole world. Jesus gathers in the flock. We do not come here because we're supposed to do it on Sunday. We come here and gather because we want a little bit of a taste of the true reality of what God is doing in the world. And what God is doing in the world is he is reaching the world through Christ and through the body of Christ, right? Us, and bringing that lost world into the flock. The Christian story is about a shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep so that the sheep might be able to invite other sheep to the shepherd. And this is our high privilege. Number one, to have such a shepherd as this. John Stott, one of the great fathers of evangelicalism, the personal chaplain of the Queen of England, a wonderful guy, died at the age of 90-something a couple of weeks back. I was really sad when he died. He was a great guy, but he wrote a book once called The Incomparable Christ. Nothing compares. He is incomparable. He lays down his life, secures for his sheep a home, and then commissions us to go out in his name and bring more sheep to the shepherd. What a privilege to be a believer in this God. What an honor to have a shepherd like this. Some of you are here this morning, you're skeptical and you're burned out. You've run the religious gamut, the religious scene, you may be sitting there thinking, who is this dude? Who is he? What's he selling? What's his angle? What's the angle of this church? What do they want from me? Do they want my money? Do they want my freedom? Do they want to control me? What do they want? What's really going on? I'll tell you what. Every church is full of sinful people because I'm one. But I'll tell you what we're about. We're about the risen, reigning, glorious, ruling, coming again, laying down his life, shepherd, King Jesus. That's what we're about. And we invite you into the family of God. We don't want your social security number. We don't want your W-2. I could care less about it. Man, we want you to know the shepherd. And we want you to live. And we want you to know that ours is the faith that says that the shepherd becomes the lamb. And the lamb is slain for the sheep. If you do not know this shepherd, I want you to walk down this aisle this morning. And I want you to take me by the hand. And I want you to say, I need to know this Jesus. Man, I need to know him. I need to know him. If you are struggling and hurting, and there are people in this church struggling and hurting, I just feel bad, you know? I mean, I feel kind of just weirdly narcissistic, you know? When tragedy happens or something, you're so bound up in yourself, you know? I'm speaking of me. You know, the last week I was sitting there thinking, man, the whole world's full of awful things.
many of them ended awfully. You know, a lot of us have just every reason to praise God. Some of you are just weeping. Just because things did not go right for you. And can I remind you that your God is a shepherd who knows your name and loves you and is not going to leave you alone? Let me say this to some of you who are elderly, who live alone. Man, we forget what that must be like. Some of us don't forget. We have no clue. Some of you are perfectly happy, but some of you go home and you're just scared and you're lonely. Hey, man, does anyone care? Let me tell you something. We're imperfect in how we give care, but your shepherd is not imperfect at all. He loves you. He watches you. You lay down in that house at night, he is there. He is standing beside you. He cares for you. Some of you are struggling with some sickness or disease, and you think, man, where is God? He is the shepherd who lays down his life for you. He knows you by name. And he whispers to you, I'm here. I'm here. Golly, whatever it is, whatever God's calling you to, I want you to come this morning to the shepherd. Here to the altar, to these steps to pray. I would love to pray with you myself. You come as God calls you. Pray with me. Father, we love you. You are so good. Thank you.